thank Josh and team for leading us into this space. Those words, those lyrics of the songs are powerful. I am really excited to be on this journey of exploring our emotionally healthy spirituality through Beneath the Surface. And what's really exciting to me are these connect groups that are happening. Last week was the first week, and I know for me and probably others of you, it's a little uncomfortable. It is. It's awkward. But I just want to say hang in there. Like, it's so worth it. We're meant to be in community. We're created in the image of our triune God, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. We're meant to be community, guys. We can't do it alone. That's another one of those lullabies. You can do it yourself. You don't need accountability. You can do it on your own. That's the way it should be done. We need each other. If you don't have a connect group and you're interested, you can see either me or Katrina Schenk, or visit the table out in the lobby afterwards, and we can get you connected that way. So last week, we got right down to business and looked at some of the symptoms of unhealthy spirituality, our emotional spirituality. And this was, again, this was hard. I mean, you went through a checklist in your connect groups of the top 10 symptoms. And some of them were really like, it's holding a mirror up and looking close. But again, it's like practicing an instrument or a sport. Like, the more practice, the more exercise, it will feel more natural to be kind of evaluating and giving these things to God. So I invite you to trust that God is at work and to lean into that. And now this week, we are getting to explore the concept of knowing yourself so that you can know God. This idea has echoed throughout centuries. Augustine wrote in 400 AD, "How can you draw close to God when you're far from your own self? Grant, Lord, that I may know myself, that I may know thee." And then later, St. Teresa of Avila wrote, "Almost all problems in the spiritual life stem from a lack of self-knowledge." And much of being human deals with emotions, whether we acknowledge them or not. Many of us don't think we have the permission to consider these feelings, whether it's the way we brought up or what we expect of ourselves, maybe pride or just being uncomfortable. You know, we want our privacy. We want to handle it the way we handle it. So instead, we'll bottle things up and hide them away, or we might explode and react. I often miss this part when I think about God having feelings. I probably think of him as so far above and beyond, but the truth is, our God feels, and it's written time and again in Scripture. In Genesis 6:6, the Lord regretted that he made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. Exodus 20, verse 5, "I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God." Hosea 11:8, how can I hand you over, Israel? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. Matthew 26:38, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. That was Jesus talking. This is our God feels. Luke 10:21, at the time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, and it continues. And we also feel, even when we don't know how to articulate or express it. Peter Scazzaro in the book says, one of our greatest obstacles in knowing God is our lack of self-knowledge. So we end up wearing a mask before God. ourselves and other people. And we can't become self-aware if we cut off our humanity out of fear of feelings. This fear then leads to unwillingness to know ourselves as we truly are and stunts our growth in Christ. And I wonder if maybe this is what Jesus was talking about in the parable of the farmer and the seed and soil in Matthew 13. And I actually don't have, is that on the slide, Derek? Sorry, thanks. So then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. So when we ignore, suppress, deny our experiences and feelings, these are real parts of ourselves. Maybe in a way we're like the shallow soil, lacking depth and rich nourishment to be able to sustain growth. Or maybe we can get pretty defensive and attack, like the thorns, the brush that choke out any new growth out of fear or stubbornness. Scazzaro says, God invites us to remove the false layers we wear to reveal our authentic self, to awaken the seeds of true self he has planted within us. In Matthew 4 is when Jesus is in the wilderness and he's being tempted. And here we find three temptations, three P's of temptations towards a false self. Number one would be, I am what I do. That's focused on performance. Like when Satan tempted Jesus, turn this stone into bread. Let me see what you can do. The second one would be, I am what others think I am. Focused on popularity. Satan tempted Jesus to throw himself off a cliff so that the angels would save him and many people would believe. Like, this sounds good, right? We want people to believe in Jesus. And Jesus wants people to believe in him and have followers, but it wasn't that way. It wasn't the way that God had ordained it, the way Satan was tempting him. Satan was saying, you could prove yourself to everybody. You could validate all their expectations of you by doing this and save yourself. And then the third would be, I am what I have, this false self, focused on possessions. Satan tempted Jesus with territory and power, property, if he would just kneel down and worship him. But instead, Jesus models living out of his true self. It seemed that almost everyone had expectations for Jesus, a false self to impose on his life. But in living faithfully to his true self, he disappointed a lot of people. But Jesus was secure in his Father's love and in himself and was able to withstand that enormous temptation and pressure. This next point, I just was really fascinated by the way Peter Scazzaro wrote it. And he says, Jesus was not selfless. This is, like, I was like, wait a second, he's like the most selfless person. But listen, he did not live as if only other people counted. He wasn't selfless, completely selfless. He did not live as if only other people counted. He knew his value and worth. He had friends. He asked people to help him. And at the same time, Jesus was not selfish. He didn't live as if nobody else counted. He gave his life out of love for others, from a place of this loving union with his Father. Jesus had a mature, healthy, true self. It's just this perfect balance. He had what Murray Bowen would call self-differentiation. It's a big mouthful, and it's from Bowen's family systems theory, which refers to a person's capacity to define his or her own life goals and values apart from the pressures of those around them. Saying, I may not agree with you or you with me, yet I can remain in relationship with you. And this is so countercultural. It's so upside down. This is kingdom stuff. I don't have to detach from you. I don't have to reject you. I don't have to criticize you. I can remain in relationship with you. I don't have to validate myself. I can be myself and you can be yourself apart from each other, but in relationship. So there's some, Scazzaro lays out some ways of developing your true self. Number one would be to pay attention to your interior in silence and solitude. And this practice of silence and solitude is missing. It's lacking in our culture. But when it's practiced, it is, again, transformative. I really encourage all of us to try and practice this, even for just a minute to start. Focusing on God. God, what are you saying to me in this moment? Especially when a strong feeling would arise. Number two, find trusted companions. Again, we're not created to live independently like we are so accustomed to in the West. We're created in the image of the Trinity to live in community, and we do need each other. And not just in our own spheres either, our own little echo chambers. We need each other. We need different voices speaking into our lives, different generations. How valuable and what a gift that is as a church body to be able to support one another in that way, where we're not all saying the same thing. We're not all just patting each other on the back. Sometimes it's a little bit of a, we need a little bit of a prod to wake up. This goes in, leads into number three, move out of your comfort zone. Scazzaro writes, dying to our false self and allowing our true self to emerge can be frightening. To begin to do things differently, especially in the beginning, can feel very, very awkward. He continues, I truly believe the greatest gift we can give the world is our true self living in loving union with God. In fact, how can we affirm other people's unique identities when we don't affirm our own? Can we really love our neighbors well without loving ourselves? And finally, pray for courage. Prayer. Maybe this could be, I don't think they're in any certain order. Maybe this could be number one. To wrap up, I'm going to invite my very antsy children up to help me with a little object lesson. This is what happens. He's 2 years old. Okay, come on. We're going to be looking at, Adeline's going to read 1 Samuel 17, 37 through 40 for us.
Switch hands. There you go. Saul said to David, "Go to the Lord be with you. Go and the Lord will be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached to the Philistine.
How's that feel? Do those fit? What do you think, Kai? Here, you want this other glove? Thank you, Adeline. Okay, be careful. All right, Fia. Okay, we're done switching things around now, okay? That doesn't quite fit you, does it? Not quite. So God invites us to remove these false layers that don't fit, like Saul's armor did not fit David, to reveal our authentic self, to awaken the seeds of our true self that he has already planted within us. It's not our doing. So where in your life or with whom is it difficult to be your true self? Maybe you don't even really know who you are at this point. I was there. Sometimes I still am. That's where I'm praying for courage. God, show me who I am. All right. Thank you, kiddos. You can head back, okay? Okay. Let's pray. God, thank you for who you are and who you have created each of us to be as a beautiful quilt, each bringing our own unique ways and gifts. God, may you be glorified through our community, through our connecting, and how we live and love like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty. Here, head back, please. Go sit down. Okay, so again, we're going to dismiss for connect groups here shortly. If you don't have one, you can come talk to me. Go visit the table in the back. We also, this evening, have a community faith gathering. At 6 o'clock, we're going to be meeting here in the sanctuary, and it's really going to be a time of, I think, less meeting, more conversation, a time of updating from our leadership and just a way of kind of focusing in together. So 6 o'clock here this evening. And with that, I will dismiss the kids for their Zoomer time with Mr. Derek. And I am not sure what time it is, but within 10:25, so within the next 5 minutes, if you could get to your connect rooms, and also the group that was meeting, I think you had an email, but the group that was meeting in room 201 will be meeting in the fellowship hall this morning. With Katrina. Blessings, everybody.